Hello, I'm Curtis Bowers, and this is Agenda Weekly. Hope you've had a good week. Hope you're doing well. Thank you so much for joining me. A lot of issues going on in the world. It seems to keep accelerating, and I'm sure it's going to continue to do that because there's much going on. Today, we're going to talk about the Cloud Pivot Strategy. Some of you might have heard of that, but I want to show you from a lot of the key things going on worldwide, how they're using that strategy to collapse everything and the reasons why they're doing that. It's very purposeful. They love catastrophe, crisis, collapse, problems, fear, anything, war. They love it all because it allows them to gain more power in control over us. But that's what we're going to talk about today. And I think it'll really open your eyes to the purposefulness of all the news that's going on worldwide. Over 100 countries right now are having riots because of food shortages and inflation, which is not allowing them to have enough money to even provide for their families. And it's all part of a plan. For all those watching on all the different platforms, please consider going to agendaweekly.com. At agendaweekly.com, you can subscribe, which helps support us, but also then we will send you every week all of our resources and materials. Anyway, I think you're going to learn a lot from this episode today. The left has been always very purposeful in having a strategy, and then broadcasting their strategy to the troops that are on their side. So they always are actively working to undermine elections or create chaos in different areas. They've always, ACORN, remember that group from Obama's years? Well, that was a group specifically designed, organized, and empowered to corrupt elections nationwide. And that was finally exposed, and we saw that. But one of the strategies they've used now for almost 60 years is called the Cloward Piven strategy. It was two sociologist professors, Cloward and Piven, that came up with this idea, and they called it the crisis strategy. Again, communists love crises because when there's something going on that's not normal, people become fearful. And when people become fearful, it allows government to do way more than they can normally do or constitutionally can do. And so that's what it was. But in May 1966, they wrote an article for Nation magazine called The Weight of the Poor. And in this article, it talked about how they were going to go to a few test cities like New York, and that was one of their focus spots. And we're going to get every person we can on welfare. Why? Because we want to collapse the system. We want it where New York will go bankrupt because they just don't have enough money to pay for all the entitlements. And that's exactly what happened. And so it was kind of a testing ground for that. And as I look across all the issues going on in the world today, I realize that's what they're doing in every area. It's just different ways they're doing it, but it's that same thing. How can we collapse the system? That was to collapse the welfare system by getting too many people involved. But if you look at the open borders right now, it's so purposeful. Do you realize it's pretty interesting to me that each month we're having over 200,000 illegals come into our country? Now, to put that in perspective, we lose touch with numbers so often. That's like if you've ever been to Boise, Idaho. I used to live there. That's the entire population of that whole vast city. It's a big, nice city that's coming in every month. That many people that we need to support because most of them don't speak the language. They don't have the ability to start a business because they have no money. They have nothing. So we're having to pay all their bills, medical expenses, educating their children, welfare, everything, because they're here. And then we have to take care of them. If you've ever been to Norfolk, Virginia, or Baton Rouge, Louisiana, or Des Moines, Iowa, all those are about that same size. If you've been to any of those cities, that's how many people are coming in every month. That's another city that size. But the problem is everyone in that city then is living on the dole because they don't have the capability of providing for themselves because they don't even know the language. If it continues at that rate, 200,000 a month plus, just the first 4 years of the Biden administration, that will be 10 million new people. 10 million. Again, that's like, oh, what is that? Let me tell you what that is. It's the entire population of these nine states, okay? Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, Vermont, Alaska, West Virginia, all of them combined. That's how many will come in just during 4 years of Biden. But again, it's not just those nine states. Pretend those nine states were just as full as they are today, but with people that are living on the dole, that all of a sudden we have to pay for them as well. Again, it's the Cloward-Piven strategy. It's the way to collapse a nation because we can't even afford to pay our own bills. We go trillions of dollars into debt every year, $4, $5, $6 trillion. But we're bringing in 10 million new people over 4 years that we have to pay all the expenses of. Again, it's purposeful. People need to understand it. And it's a way to collapse America, which has been one of their key strategies. But here's a clip. Watch this clip from Tucker that explains the significance of this and why the elites are doing it.
Professor, thanks so much for coming on. So you see this massive disconnect. You have this party that's openly and very aggressively anti-white, the Democratic Party, and yet its leaders, including its leaders of color, like the Obamas, live in all white neighborhoods. How long can that continue, I wonder?
Oh, I don't think it's sustainable. And, you know, what's new about the border, Tucker, it's not porous. It doesn't exist. They blew it up. There is no such thing as federal immigration law. It's almost an insurrectionary, to use that term, act. And you ask yourself, why are 3 million people going to come in the first 2 years of the Biden administration? And the answer is, it's the manifestation of this bi-coastal elite that's never subject to the consequences of their own ideology.
Exactly.
They want vaccination. Anybody that's not vaxxed in the military, out. Anybody in the federal workforce, out. 3 million people come in untested, unvaxxed, no problem whatsoever. Walls are ossified, they're calcified, they don't work. But my estate, I got to have a big wall in Malibu or Atherton or et cetera. And then schools, we have to have a diverse school, but my kids are going to be at a private academy. And I love diversity, but only as an employer that hires cheap labor. So this is new. It really is. It's nihilism. And it really begs the question, why are they doing this? It's almost as like it's a psychological projection so that they know they're guilty, that they live apartheid, segregated existences, and they don't want to change it, but they think by performance art, virtue signaling in the abstract, I'm for diversity, I'm for open borders, then that squares the circle of their own privilege. And I think everybody's on to them. There's only one, I think, optimistic chance, and if the Hispanic vote, and especially the Mexican-American vote, who is the community most impacted by flooded social services and schools that are can't handle this influx and increases in crime, if they vote 50-50 for Republican or conservative candidates in the fall, believe me, you will hear the 1992-1996 Democratic Convention rhetoric of Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, the Clintons, on how we have to have legal-only immigration, because they will not want to import people who within a generation are innately conservative.
We must always remember they know exactly what they are doing, and they've been very successful at doing it. Next, another issue that we've faced and worldwide is still going on in many areas, lockdowns. Well, that fits perfectly into this plan. When we had a year or more where all the businesses in America that were small and independent had to be closed, the big ones didn't have to be, it allowed the wealth of the nation to go from the individual to corporate America, big business. And that's why Walmart's and the Amazons and all of them, their businesses skyrocketed. At the same time, hundreds of thousands of local businesses went out, never to reopen. That's a key strategy, Cloward-Piven. The more people you can make poor, the more people will need your entitlements. And when they need your entitlements, you're in control of them. is then they have to vote for you or you'll take them away. And so it's a way of enslaving the people. The war going on in Ukraine and the wars we've seen for the last 60 years, they fit perfectly into this. War is strategic because it destroys everything. Every country that's ever been in a war or that is waging a war is wasting, like we did, trillions of dollars on Afghanistan. Trillions. I think it was $3 trillion total we wasted there. For what? Nothing. That's $3 trillion we could have spent on infrastructure without going into debt. That's $3 trillion we could have paid off some of the national debt with. But no. It just went into this dumping money because the poorer you can make Americans, the more likely it is that they will collapse. And once America collapses, the whole world's going world government instantly. We're the only thing standing in the way. But wars, yeah, the destruction that's caused. Then they need help, which allows then people to come in, other nations and countries, and control that country. Because, and then the bankers, they come in with their money. Oh, we'll give you a loan for that. And enslaves the countries and peoples in debt. And it just keeps going. Another thing that fits into this economically, ESG, I don't know if you've heard of that term or not. Hopefully you have. ESG stands for environmental, social, and governance. And what it is, it's a new system that the bankers have set up that judges each business in those areas. And based on how they're doing, they determine then if they will give them a loan for business. Well, what are those three areas? Let's talk about them for a second. Environmental factors. A company whose activities are detrimental to the environment may be undeserving of your money. So the bankers are going to cut off anyone that isn't environmentally friendly from their point of view, which is all the gas, coal, natural gas industries and stuff, petroleum, all that, which is what we survive on. The whole world uses that to have energy, for electricity, to get to where they're going, to transport goods and everything. They're saying, no, not anymore. If you are creating a carbon footprint, which is one of the things under that category, and your climate change policies and plans and disclosures aren't exactly what we think they should be, and you're not using renewable energy, including wind and solar, which of course is intermittent, so you can't use it, then you don't get a loan. So that's in the environmental category. That's how they're defining who can stay in business and who cannot. Then we move on to social factors. You have to have diversity as your primary focus. Not people that are qualified for the job, you just have to have a diverse employee base, period. And then we will be looking at the bankers, your public stance on social justice issues, as well as your lobbying efforts. If you're not spending your money lobbying for what we say is social justice, which of course is every left-wing radical program, Black Lives Matter, and all these other foolish ideas that destroy the people they claim to be helping, if you're not pushing those, you don't get a loan. Sorry. Well, you're going to expand our business? No. And by the way, your loan's due. The one we gave you 10 years ago, you have to pay it off now. They're going to close down anyone that's not actively using their money and their business to push their agenda. That's what this is. It's part of the Cloward-Piven strategy to collapse anyone that doesn't do exactly what they're told. And the last area is governance factors, and those deal with, we're going to look at your donations and your public lobbying, what you're doing to influence the public to do what's right. And where have you given money to? It better be to causes we have said are noble and right and true. And if you've given one penny to something we believe is evil, like a movement to make America great again or something, you're out. You're done. You will be eliminated. It's another very clever scheme, just like the Rockefeller family stated 100 years ago, to eliminate competition. And that's where we are. And then they say, why is ESG important for business? They're trying to sell this. This is their own document I'm reading. Because it weeds out unsustainable companies with outdated practices. Outdated by their definition. That's what they want to make you obsolete, like we talked about before. That's their goal, is to make every business that is a small business and every person that doesn't go along to get along obsolete, so they will be in total control. Another area that fits into that economic situation with ESG, and we'll talk more about that in the future, is inflation. It's been almost 20% inflation over the last 12 months. And they think it's going to continue like this for another year or two. Well, if that happens, do you understand how that's the Cloward-Piven strategy of collapsing and impoverishing people? Just in the last 12 months, each of you listening to this became 20% poorer. Your money lost 20% of its value just in the last 12 months. Well, again, if that goes like that for a couple more years, it'll be 50%. So over a three-year period, everyone in America lost 50% of their wealth. Well, that's a problem. And then unless you were making way more than you needed to each year, you're not going to be able to pay your bills. And that, again, poverty is a dream come true for them, because when people are in poverty, they'll do what they're told to get their little check for food. How is the Cloward-Piven strategy being used inside the environmental movement? Well, good question. It is being used because it's getting rid of all cheap forms of energy, the ones that we have an abundant supply of, 400 or 500 years worth, just in America, for America, of cheap energy that is totally clean. It's a lie that they push that coal and oil and natural gas are not clean. They have learned how to do those where they're far cleaner than solar and wind. And a lot of people don't realize that, but the mining necessary to create all the elements that go into solar panels and to build, manufacture, transport, and set up and maintain the windmills is far more pollution than a good old coal-fired power plant is producing today. So the whole thing's a lie anyway, but why do they not want you to have cheap energy? Because it makes you productive and it makes you wealthy. And so that's how they're using that. They're just taking out off the table. Oh, no, you can't use that. No. You have to have an electric car, which you got to go buy one then. But then what's going to happen as they start transitioning all the auto industry to making electric cars, they're going to find out something. We don't have enough electricity in America where we can charge everybody's electric car if everyone were to get one. But all the while, they're cutting the gas-powered cars. So it's going to be a perfect storm in 5, 6, 7, 8 years when all of a sudden only electric cars are made by 2030. But that last year is then a huge percentage of people get them, because now there's not gas cars anymore. They're going to go try to plug them in and the grid's going to black out because there's not enough power. So that's some of the purposefulness there. We also see what's going on in the Netherlands through the green agenda, using the Cloward-Piven strategy of collapse. They're telling farmers, no, what you do is hurting the environment. So now you have to kill 30% of all your livestock, period. And then about 50% of you are going to have to stop farming altogether. And the other 50% that are farming, you're not going to be able to use fertilizers anymore. And you're going to have to do all these other things. And they're going to go, we don't have anything to eat. They're setting up this perfect storm to happen all at the same time, where as it happens, there'll be a huge food shortage. And of course, you can't create food overnight. It takes months and months and months. And it will eliminate many of the people they claim are useless from off the planet, which is a key goal. But it will then enslave the rest to be dependent on governments for food. That's what they want ultimately. That's why Bill Gates is getting into food production at an incredible rate. And then they're going to pressure those that are farming right now on a small scale to do all these things that are going to make it so expensive for them to produce food, they can't do it. So they have to sell their land, and the big businesses can gobble up all the farmland and then just produce the little type of food they want us to have. But then you only get that if you're going along to get along. So it's a key strategy for collapse. And that's what they're doing with that. Another key thing they've done very carefully and very purposefully is create a situation where there was a crisis 2 years ago. There was a pandemic that we know was let out of a lab in Wuhan. And the more we study it, we realize now it was purposeful clearly, because some of the things they'd written years before stated they needed a pandemic so that people would buy into the idea of universal vaccines and IDs to keep track of the vaccinated, and on it goes. But the vaccine they've pushed fits into this perfectly. It's going to collapse the economies because of the tremendous number of people that are going to be dying worldwide over the next 6-8 years because they took the vaccine and the booster shots, and now their children are getting it and everything else. Here's just a few of the things. And these are mainstream doctors like Dr. Robert Malone that are talking about what's happened with the vaccine is it's attacking people's immune system. So their immune system is getting weaker and weaker. And they feel there's a very good chance that by 2030, a huge percentage of Americans will have died. They'll have died of cancers and all these different things, so they won't be associated with the vaccine. But he said it will be from the vaccine because their immune system has been so hurt by this shot that it's not going to fight off cancer when it starts attacking their body like it attacks all of ours. All of us have cancer inside of our body. And most of these other diseases are all there. The only reason you don't get it is because you have a good immune system and it fights that off continually. They say almost everyone has almost every disease that there is inside of their body. And it's just your immune system says no, and doesn't let it multiply and start taking over your body. But once you hamper the immune system from doing what God designed it to do, then all of a sudden it starts going crazy. And that's what's happening. They're already noticing over 20% increases in cancer rates throughout America in people that have been vaccinated. And many doctors like Dr. Ryan Cole and others are talking about this. They say in our practices, we're seeing all of a sudden just over the last 12 months, cancer rates just going up dramatically. And of course, infertility going up dramatically and on. But here's some facts. I'm going to just give you a few facts to let you see that the vaccine was used as part of the Cloward-Piven strategy to collapse our economic system in America by removing so many people from the equation. In 2002, Anthony Fauci and Ralph Baric, they patented something. What was it? The replication defective infectious coronavirus chimera. Okay? What is that? It's the coronavirus. They patented that in 2002. And then they kept working on the gain of function with that. What is gain of function? That means they worked to make it more deadly to human beings. Okay, and they did that up until 2016. When Ralph Baric, some of these communications have come out now and people are reading them, that we've gotten from some of the different medical places, NIH and some of the different ones. And in 2016, Ralph Baric, who was the partner with Anthony Fauci in getting this patent on this deadly virus, he said this, quote, "The Wuhan Institute of Virology coronavirus is now poised for human emergence." That's in 2016. And then we wonder why in January of 2017, Dr. Fauci said to President Trump, "You will have to deal with a global pandemic during your presidency." Now think about that. We've talked about that before, but How could you say that? Well, they said that because they knew they'd finally produced a virus that was just right to be very contagious among human beings. And they had patented that. So they would be the ones then able to create vaccines to help with that and everything else. It was all purposeful from the beginning. In 2015, we now know, Peter Daszak said, this entire exercise, and he was talking about the gain-of-function research, is a campaign of domestic terror to get the public to accept a universal vaccine platform using a known biological weapon. So as they were coming close to perfecting the coronavirus, he says, okay, now we can use this for domestic terror. We're going to put so much fear in people, they will accept the idea of a universal vaccine platform. But we've got to use this biological weapon to accomplish that. That's come out now, and there are communications between Dr. Fauci and Peter Daszak and Ralph Baric and everything else in this secret program our tax dollars were paying for. That's why they had to have Wuhan, mask, lockdowns, fear. They needed a crisis so you would say, yeah, yeah, give me the shot. I don't want to die. That's what it was all about. And that's the only thing it was about. The problem is it wasn't then even a vaccine that would help with that. It was a vaccine that was going to be deadly, going to destroy the immune system of people, destroy people's ability to have children, which is their number one goal. Don't ever forget it. Those Georgia Guidestones that were destroyed a few weeks ago. Commandment number one, maintain the Earth's population below 500 million people. They're serious about their agenda. We also know that Bill Gates in 2010 said vaccines are going to help reduce global populations by 10 to 15%. You go, what? I thought vaccines help you live healthier and longer. And no, that's not what they're for. But you have to remember this too. We were not accepting of how evil they really are because we just have a hard time believing people could be like that. But do you know Bill Gates was raised by a mass murderer? Do you know that? A lot of people don't know that. His father was the head of Planned Parenthood back when their open agenda at their meetings was to eliminate the human weeds from off the earth. Who were the human weeds? The blacks, the Hispanic. That was his father leading that up when it was openly that. It's still that. That's all it's for. That's why all their abortion clinics are in minority neighborhoods. But back then it was openly that. That's who raised Bill Gates. He hates minorities. He hates poor people. He hates human beings. But that's where we are. The COVID vaccine is to make your body create a toxin which destroys its natural immunity, which is going to create lots of death, disease, and destruction. Watch this clip talking about how one of the major medical industry publications has just admitted this.
It's easy to just mock that this is a pandemic of the unvaccinated. That's clearly untrue. But is there a connection between getting multiple COVID vax shots and getting sicker? Is it possible that the vaccine actually can hurt you, especially if you keep getting boosted? Can it weaken your immune system? Well, that looks possible. Multiple studies have looked into this. Just last month, the Journal of Food and Chemical Toxicology published the findings of several mRNA researchers, and we're quoting, "In this paper, we present evidence that vaccination induces a profound impairment in type 1 interferon signaling, which has diverse adverse consequences to human health." Well, that seems like a headline. Did you read that in the New York Times? No, you probably didn't. Kind of weird, since hundreds of millions of people got the shot. The researchers continued that in their studies of the COVID vaccine, quote, "we identify potential profound disturbances in regulatory control of protein synthesis and cancer surveillance. These disturbances potentially have a causal link to neurodegenerative disease, myocarditis, Bell's palsy, liver disease, impaired adaptive immunity, impaired DNA damage response, etc." So it's possible, in fact, it's looking likely, that the vaccine might suppress the immune system. This fact, the authors concluded, will, quote, have a wide range of consequences, not the least of which include the reactivation of latent viral infections and the reduced ability to effectively combat future infections, end quote.
Right now, as this is all coming out, they're still pushing children must be vaccinated before they start school this year. And down to 6 months old, you must get this vaccine. And when they know this is already causing problems like never before, they're just running with it as long as they can to cause as much destruction as possible. And we've had some really good episodes on COVID. I encourage you to go to agendaweekly.com and go back in your dashboard and flip back through. I remember one we had about a year ago called the COVID Conspiracy, where we go through the timeline of COVID and how you can see it was all purposeful from the beginning and they were doing it purposefully. It wasn't an accident. It wasn't, oh, whoops, you know, this, we didn't mean for this to happen. And then the vaccine, pushing it, a vaccine that's going to harm people, it was all purposeful. Another thing that came out a few months back, and no one hardly paid attention to it, but Dr. Luc Montagnier, if that's how you pronounce his name, he is a Nobel Prize winner in medicine for his research on AIDS. He said this about the vaccine before he died. He said, the spike protein, which is synthesized by the messenger RNA contained in the vaccine, is toxic to the cells. He went on to say, he goes, the vaccine is poison. And he was begging people, don't take this. You're going to have so many neurological problems. You're going to have heart problems. You're going to have, there's going to be just a pandemic of new and accelerated diseases because people are taking this. And then the boosters and the boosters, every time you get a booster, it just damages more and more and continues that process. And we need to wake up and talk to our family and friends and those we love and say no and get them good information so that they don't buy into this out of fear and go do this thing, because birth rates are dropping just since they started the shot a year and a half ago. We see in America, fertility and birth rates are just dropping like a rock worldwide. And a lot of people say, oh, that's a good thing because it's helped save the environment. It's not a good thing. God intended people to be on this earth taking dominion over it so they could steward it and take care of it so it would be a green, beautiful garden instead of a dead weed patch that is decaying and rotting from within because no one's there to manage it. And so anyway, but that's a Nobel Prize winner saying it's poison. Literally, that's what he said. It is poison. Don't take it. Like I talked about earlier, 100 countries are having riots right now because of inflation and food shortages. When the cost of food and energy go above 50% of your income, people start rioting. And the other side knows this. They love the riots. People are destroying their own countries, and they're giving governments the excuse to come against them and to use totalitarian force to control them. But they want to collapse everything. They love when countries, especially those with minorities in them, from their point of view, are collapsing, or there's war or death or famine. They love it. They want to get rid of them. The Bill Gates of the world and all his globalist buddies, they hate minorities. You'll notice there is no minorities in any of the roundtable groups that have influence ever since Cecil Rhodes and the Rockefellers. And that's what's going on. But they want death. They want revolution, chaos, which allows them to create martial law, and then the slaughter and slavery. And so that's the agenda. But the good news is people are realizing the purposefulness of the elite's agenda to enslave us all. I think more and more people are waking up. That's why these countries are rioting. We need to pray for them, that God will bless their efforts to stand against their evil governments that are trying to starve them to death. We need to pray for them, and we need to stand. I really feel we need to get a concrete game plan together for what we need to do when the final assault starts. Because at some point, it might still be years away, but it's coming by 2030, a situation worldwide and even in America where there is revolution, there's civil war, there's chaos at a level we've never seen in America. And we need to be ready for when the war begins, and we need to be ready to defend what we believe in and stand for what is right and protect the innocents. Because it's heading that way. You can see they're wanting to create the conditions of unrest. And we can see it in all these things I've talked about and 100 other things. They're purposefully inflating. They're purposefully taking energy from us. They're purposefully just doing all these things, opening our borders so millions more come in. They're just all the things we talked about, withholding money in the banking industry only from big business that goes along with their game plan. They're trying to strangle us so that we will rise up. And at some point it's going to happen. So we need to be ready for that, because it's an enemy we can see that's laid out their agenda, and they're moving rapidly in that direction. And we need to pray that God intervenes and helps us, and that we are able to have a free and fair election in November to help slow some of this down. But then we need to be watching for the final pieces of the puzzle they must put in place, where they can finally treat us the way Red China treats its citizens. And here they are. Here's the things. For total control, they need a digital currency. If that comes about, we cannot use it. We have to completely pull out of the system. They need a social credit score so they can keep track of us. They need to have a carbon tax on us, so the more productive they are, they can keep taxing us even more, so we will be poor, so we won't ever be independent and free from their entitlements. They need a universal ID and a vaccine passport, and all those things work together. Once you have those things, then you have total control of the people. And we see it in everything going on. They keep destroying the opposition to consolidate power over three things: food, water, and energy. They want to be in control of those things, because when you're in control of those things, you're in total control. Only those who go along will be allowed any of those things. You will not get food, water, or energy if you have not gone along to get along and done exactly as they said. But we need to say no to their plans and set up alternative systems in every area. So we see they've told us those things I just mentioned are what they're wanting to accomplish. And soon, before 2030. And so we need to go, okay, so I need a separate system to barter and pay with other people. Maybe gold or silver or bitcoins or whatever, but it'll be, we got to pull out of that system. And then we need to work toward, again, being as independent and sustainable as possible on our own or in our community, where we've got everything we need for survival we can get from people we know in our own community. So if they're to shut us off completely and cut off our neighborhoods, and we'll be fine. And we will just pull out and do what we need to do there. And of course, we've got to get our children away from them. They want to destroy the next generation so they'll go along to get along, and we can't allow that. I know it's a sobering reality to realize those in power in America and worldwide are purposely trying to collapse everything. But that's why their actions don't make any sense. It's not because they're ignorant. It's because they have a plan. And so we need to understand that. But we must not be fearful, because fear then makes us more likely to accept their solutions to problems, especially when they create the problem. Don't do that. God is in total control. My family and I were singing a hymn last night, and it's our hymn for this week. It's below in the news brief at the bottom. But just listen to the words to this. This is for today. This is Agenda Weekly's hymn. But listen to the words. Lead on, O King Eternal. The day of march has come. It's time to engage the battle. Henceforth in fields of conquest, thy tents shall be our home. through days of preparation, thy grace has made us strong. And now, O King Eternal, we lift our battle song. We were born for battle. That's why we're here. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 6, it is a spiritual battle going on. That's why we're here. And the spiritual battle, sometimes because of the demonic influence on others, enters the real world. And there is then a physical battle that must be fought. Listen to the next verse. Lead on, O King Eternal, till sin's fierce war shall cease, and holiness shall whisper the sweet amen of peace. That's what we all long for, peace. But we have to stop those who are just sinful and evil and have an agenda for destruction. For not with swords, loud clashing, nor rolling of stirring drums, with deeds of love and mercy, the heavenly kingdom comes. Lead on, O King Eternal. We follow not with fears. We're not supposed to be fearful. The only thing you're supposed to fear and I'm supposed to fear is God. And make sure we are pleasing Him, knowing He will have His hand of protection over us and guide and direct our path. And then here, as it closes, it says, for gladness breaks like morning wherever thy face appears. Thy cross is lifted over us. We journey in its light. The crown awaits the conquest. Lead on, O God of might. We're here to fight for truth and righteousness. We're here to stand for what is right, regardless of the cost. And we're here to share the good news with those who are fearful, those that have been abused by the system that hates the poor, hates mankind because we're made in God's image, and hates everything that is good and right and true. We must stand against it because that's how we love our neighbor. And in doing so, I'm just praying that God's going to bless our efforts. And maybe as the vaccine takes out tens of millions in America over the next 6-7 years, those that said no to that because they knew it was wrong, those that have pulled their kids out of the school system and began to teach and train them to understand the difference between truth and lies, God might take back the land for us with His might against these evil, vile creatures. I think people worldwide are waking up. And they're realizing you can't trust the global organizations. You can't trust these people that say they're looking after our best interests. They're selfish, evil human beings that care about no one except themselves. And so keep praying, keep fasting on Fridays with us, and keep remembering that you have been born for such a time as this. And until next week, God bless you.